morning, Medical Education Podcast listeners. Welcome to another episode of our podcast. This is Kevin Eva again, the editor of the journal, and I am speaking to you today from a very dark and gloomy Vancouver morning. And on the line with me, I have Sigrid Harenza, who is a professor and doctor in the medical faculty at Hamburg University in the Department of Medicine, and also is engaged in educational research and development there in Hamburg. And I asked Sigrid to speak with me today because of a paper that she has upcoming in the February issue of Medical Education entitled Patient Selection for Bedside Teaching, Inclusion and Exclusion Criteria that Teachers Use. Thank you, Sigrid, for making the time for me so late in your day.
Yeah, well, thank you for inviting me.
My pleasure. The paper that you have coming out in February is somewhat unique in that I haven't seen a lot of work precede it that try to determine what were the criteria that people were using in trying to select patients for teaching. What prompted your interest in this topic?
Well, what we noticed in Hamburg was that our bedside teaching course seemed to be well-structured. It has learning objectives that are well-defined. And the one thing that's maybe a bit different than in other places is that we have consultants, residents, and sometimes even interns teaching this course. So we found that there might be quite some heterogeneity amongst the teachers. And sometimes we actually got feedback from the students that even though they are learning objectives, always see cardiology patients or nephrology patients. And then we figured even though the course seems to be well structured, there are no instructions given to the teachers how to select patients for their course. And then we looked in the literature and we found that there's a lot known about all kinds of aspects regarding bedside teaching, but there was nothing much about patient selection. And since we figured that patient selection could be crucial to the learning experience, we felt it was important to look a bit deeper into this topic.
And this is a context then where the clinical teachers do have some choice then. It's not one of the settings where you largely have to take whatever happens to be available on the ward that particular day?
Yes, the course is organized in this way, and this is how a bedside teaching mostly is structured in Germany. It's a course time that is set aside for students, and it has particular learning objectives, let's say a cardiology topic or a surgery topic or whatever, and the students do not just be with us on ward rounds to be taught.
Right, okay. Do you struggle getting patients to commit or to agree to have these students come in and get some education in their room, or in general are patients quite happy and it really does come down simply to the educator's choice?
Well, see, this is also something that we didn't quite know, whether the teachers ask patients beforehand whether they are willing to participate in this course, or maybe they ask another physician who works on this ward to select a patient, or do they just go into a room when the students are there and talk to the first best patient there? We didn't know. So there's the structure for the course, but we did not really know how the teachers get together with the patients and whom they ask, and do they even ask themselves.
Right, and so what did you find in talking to these individuals? I recall that you interviewed about 15 people from three departments, and am I right in believing that you largely just opened up the interview by asking the simple question of how do you choose your patients?
No, what we did is we looked in the literature from other research whether there were hints on patient selection. So it was a semi-structured interview with some aspects and criteria that we did find in the literature to structure the interview. So we would start with an open question and then had some criteria where we could focus discussion on.
Can you share with our listeners what those criteria were, what you were trying to direct the conversation towards?
Some criteria were who selected the patients, and then the more open question would be how was this process done? Are there any criteria that they valued higher than other criteria? Then with the answers, we would move along and specify on certain aspects that came up in the discussion. And this you already mentioned, we looked at three different departments. So we started in internal medicine because this is the field I'm working in. In the first interviews, it became apparent that there are other aspects in pediatrics department and also in psychiatry And this is how we got to involve the other departments to just broaden the aspects.
Right, okay. And so what seemed to be the dominant reason behind the patient selection that they were making?
The interesting thing was that everybody said in all interviews that the teachers tried to find the patients for the bedside teaching courses that fitted the topic of the learning objective. And then up came other categories that could influence this choice. For instance, if students were supposed to take a history and if the patient does not commute the German language very well, then they would rather have somebody who could better talk to the student and would not so perfectly fit the learning objective. Or let's say it was a patient with one of those hospital bugs, so everybody would to have get dressed with coats and masks, so they wouldn't choose patients like this. So we figured, okay, a patient with tuberculosis would always be in such a room, and maybe students would never see one during their bedside teaching class, for instance.
Right, so that those sort of conflicts or tensions between different criteria sound like they would definitely get...
And since we were doing the grounded theory approach, where data collection and the coding of the interview transcript all happened simultaneously, whenever new aspects came up, we integrated this in the analysis. And then we ended up with different aspects that we then could in the end actually categorize in three big categories. So one category was educational, what I already said. So does the patient fit the learning objectives? And then we found some other biopsychosocial and structural aspects like the two that I've already mentioned.
Right. And so when these tensions arise, it sounds like there are situations where people are being forced to make compromises between what they're actually supposed to do educationally and what seems logistically feasible. Did they give you any indication as to how they managed that balance between some patients that are important to see being less likely to be selected because they're just more difficult to use?
It actually depended very much on the individual teacher. For example, if we take the language issue, some teachers said they would not choose a patient who did not speak German very well, but other teachers said if this patient showed a particular important symptom, for instance, they would still ask this patient to participate and go with the students and help them integrate this patient and the particular symptom or disease that the patient was suffering from. So that showed us not just that we find different categories that can hinder a bedside teaching, it depended very much on how the teachers dealt with this.
Right. And so there seem to be some individual differences, and it sounds like there's some need for some sort of overarching guidance as to how to make sure that the curricular objectives are met at the same time.
That's what, after finishing the analysis, we felt it was necessary that teachers should be aware of these different aspects that can influence their patient choices, and maybe they should be helped how to deal with these different aspects. There is no training course for a bedside teaching or something like this, but maybe there should be some information or a little course or something that teachers are aware of these problems that they can encounter and how to work around them.
Right. So it sounds like this may be one contributor to the generally recognized problem of students getting diverse and perhaps heterogeneous and imbalanced experiences as they go through medical school. And so my last question for you will be, at this point in your studies or in your understanding of this issue, do you have specific recommendations for what the dean of the program or the director of the teaching unit should do to provide some system level support for these sorts of issues?
Yes, we do have a faculty development program here, and we feel these aspects that we found should actually be included in this program. And also, as I said with the example that maybe the student will never see a patient with tuberculosis during bedside teaching, if the curricular planners are aware that there are some problems that cannot be solved with faculty development, then maybe one should have a careful look at the curriculum to have other courses or seminars or lectures where certain diseases are talked about if it's not possible to see patients. but I certainly think it would be good to include it in the faculty development and help teachers find solutions how to work around these problems.
Great. Thank you, Ian, for raising some awareness of the potential for the faculty themselves to contribute to this issue. And as I said, it's, I think, broadly recognized that those experiences will matter and patient cases will have an influence. And many schools I know have gone towards logbooks and other things to try to at least enable them to determine whether or not a learner has seen an appropriate breadth of cases. I hadn't seen anybody before shining the light on some of the institutional aspects that might create some of that imbalance and some of that challenge. So it's an interesting paper, and I'd encourage others to read it to get more detail than we could possibly convey in a brief conversation. And I'll just remind you that the paper is entitled Patient Selection for Bedside Teaching, Inclusion and Exclusion Criteria Teachers Use. It will be released in the February 2012 version of Medical Education, and I've been speaking with the corresponding author on that work, Zigrid Harenza, from the Medical Faculty of Hamburg University. Zigrid, to sign off, I should say that I would be scolded by my wife if I didn't take the opportunity to at least say something to you in German, so I'll just say Guten Abend und auf Wiedersehen.
Well, thank you very much.